Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. In Los Angeles, Mayor Karen Bass urging calm as protests continue over immigration raids. Bass says President Trump's decision to deploy National Guard members has made it harder for local law enforcement to do their jobs. The Trump administration says the troops are protecting federal buildings and helping ICE agents do their jobs. ABC's Alex Stone says along with a curfew, other security measures are in place.
It's very difficult to get downtown today. You've got to find a back way to do it and then a roundabout way to get in because the California Highway Patrol has everything shut down. May keep things quieter tonight.
A New York City jury issuing a split verdict in the retrial of Harvey Weinstein, finding him guilty on one count of a criminal sex act with one accuser and acquitting him on the same charge with a second accuser. The jury returns tomorrow to deliberate a rape charge. Stocks ended lower over economic concerns driven by tariffs. The Consumer Price Index shows inflation edged up last month compared to April. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers are proposing legislation seeking to increase price transparency for hospital costs. The proposed bill would create a new enforcement mechanism to ensure hospitals are complying with federal cost transparency laws. The legislation comes following a press release from the Wisconsin Hospitals Association highlighting a turquoise health analysis finding Wisconsin ranked first in the country for hospital price transparency. The analysis also found that no Wisconsin hospital had been fined for noncompliance with transparency laws. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has announced that over 82,000 residents have added emergency contact information to their Department of Motor Vehicles records through a new program. The program was created under the To Inform Families First law signed by Governor Evers in 2023. The goal is to help law enforcement authorities connect with emergency contacts faster in the event of a serious crash. The emergency contact information can be added on the DMV's website and is only accessible to law enforcement authorities. The last of four Webster residents facing felony charges in relation to a December drug bust in Burnett County has been sentenced. 50-year-old Christopher Merrill, 33-year-old Jacqueline Duncan, 42-year-old Lisa Anderson, and 47-year-old Ronald Anderson were all arrested in the drug bust that led to the recovery of methamphetamine, marijuana, and various drug paraphernalia. Merrill and Duncan were sentenced to prison in April, Lisa Anderson was sentenced in May, and on Monday, Ronald Anderson became the final suspect to be sentenced on amended charges. A Hayward man has been charged after a Sawyer County traffic stop allegedly resulted in the recovery of about 15 grams of methamphetamine and illegally obtained prescription drugs. 38-year-old Benjamin Isham was arrested on May 31st after being pulled over on State Highway 27. During the traffic stop, a K-9 unit alerted Sawyer County deputies to the potential presence of narcotics in the vehicle. A subsequent search allegedly turned up five separately packaged bags of methamphetamine and a prescription medication bottle that contained unidentifiable capsules. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers beat the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers and Braves series wrapping up today in Milwaukee. A recap tonight. Last night, the crew with a 4-1 win over Atlanta, thanks to home runs from Jake Bowers, Jackson Chourio, and six solid innings pitched by 24-year-old right-hander Quinn Priester.
The cutter, you know, at the top was really good today, and, you know, having that confidence in that pitch gave me some confidence. I was able to execute more often than not.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, that kid has just been getting better and better, and it's credit to the front office for really picking this kid out specifically, saying we got a chance. I remember like 3 weeks before we got him, they've done their research, and it's great to see it happen.
NFL, day two of the Packers minicamp in Green Bay. Now that Jaire Alexander's been released, the team taking a look at wide receiver Bo Melton as a possible defensive back in practice. In golf, Division I State High School Golf Tournament in Madison, Peyton Elbers, a junior from Wanakee, the winner after a three-hole playoff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms around, and lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, more areas of rain, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-70s. Rain still likely Thursday night and Friday. Highs stay into the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin.
Chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live from Shawnee, Wisconsin, where we'll be talking with some of the Democratic Party people locally about living in a red county in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
It is this moment right now, and we need people that have wealth and access to step the hell up.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
We can't take this as a country to have a leader who is so ill-informed and we look terrible.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
You got a bad sandwich at your favorite deli. What do you do about it? We can talk about whatever you want to sound off on.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. How you doing this, at least down here in southeastern Wisconsin, finally toasty summer afternoon? We only get a few days of summer every year. I am enjoying feeling the heat. We are going to have a hot show for you today, as we always do, stacked with incredible guests. Of course, I have to talk about the billionaire boys who apparently have made up. All's good. I don't know. If I was Elon Musk, I probably wouldn't want to be threatening the man that can pull billions and billions of dollars in Trump's words here, not mine, government subsidies to my many fledgling companies who share value may have gone down precipitously. I don't know. We're going to talk about all of the things. We're going to talk about the new economic indicators. We are going to be talking, of course, about the mobilization, the deployment. The Marines are coming. They aren't yet in Los Angeles. They will be. We will talk about all of it and so much more. And of course, it is the last week of Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win giveaway, where you can win $100 or Brewers tickets every day during the 4 o'clock hour and get entered to win, of course, one of our grand prizes. We got summer getaways. We even include your gas money. It's all good fun. Going to Wisconsin Dells and Door County. Listen, I have to tell you, one of my favorite supper clubs is just outside of Wisconsin Dells. It's called Ishnawa. It's literally in the woods. You drive. It's very relaxing. It's a curvy road. It's beautiful. It's on a lake. And so it is only fitting that our word of the hour this afternoon is supper. S-U-P-P-E-R, as in the thing that we eat in Wisconsin. But folks on either coast don't know what we're talking about. Yes, a supper club, S-U-P-P-E-R, is the word of the hour. You got to text that in via the Civic Media app. You can get that app for free. If you don't have it, you have all hour to text it in. Download that puppy and text in the word supper, S-U-P-P-E-R. Enough of all that fun stuff and yucks. Let's get to the business of the day. We got a fine guest joining us right off the top. It is Representative Renuka Maya Dev from Assembly District 77. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm so happy to have you, Representative.
Thank you, Maggie. Very happy to be here with you.
And happy, finally, some summerish weather. Let's hope we can keep it.
Yes, yes. Yesterday I was wearing wool. Today I'm wearing linen. So, you know,
yes,
we're staying flexible.
Just like supper clubs, the Wisconsin thing about the weather is if you don't like it, wait 5 minutes. It'll change. Now, you were born and raised in Columbus, Ohio. I'm kind of a Milwaukee sister city. I like Columbus. I can get down there. That's a good fun spot. But you decided to run for elected office in 2024. Bless your heart, as they say in the southern parts of this country. Before we get to the reason that you're here, I just want people to get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why the heck did you decide, oh yeah, in the midst of all of this unity and just good collective feeling in our country, I know I'll run for elected office.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of work to do. I've been working for women, children, and working families all of my career. I've had the honor of working for Marion Wright Edelman, who's a civil rights leader who worked with Dr. King, you may know. And she founded the Children's Defense Fund. And so I worked for her fighting for children who can't vote, who can't lobby, they can't speak for themselves. And so I was learned from her what it means to fight back when you see injustice. And so what I saw across the country and here in Wisconsin is that, you know, our rights were at stake. The needs of women weren't being met. Actually, the last job I had before I joined the assembly in January was at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, where I worked on maternal child health issues. And I saw things like postpartum Medicaid not being done in our state. Still not done.
Still not done.
The last two, Maggie.
Oy.
Us in Arkansas. It's ridiculous. And I said, you know what? I got to run.
To all the Arkansans listening, I'm sorry, but I don't really consider Arkansas the company I want my state to keep when it comes to certain statistics.
No. We don't want to be in line with Governor Huckabee on anything.
No. A couple of things. First of all, you're also have an undergrad in economics. You are also a lawyer. So I was like, why have the representative and I not done this sooner? Because we have all of these wonderful things in common. And before we get again to the specific reason that you're here, I wanted to ask you one of the most shocking things to me about Donald Trump's deportation program and the MAGA regime is what we are now seeing in immigration courts across the country. And that is immigrant children in court with no lawyer, just there. There are many things I've seen in courtrooms that have broken my heart over my 25 some years of practicing. But that, to me, was those images and hearing some of the recordings of those hearings, that's us failing. Just to get your reaction as a lifelong advocate for kids.
Yes. I mean, it's heartbreaking. And I actually did some of that work representing children in administrative court when they are unaccompanied minors. Yeah. And it's so, so sad because they're on their own and they're at the whim of our president and his cruel behavior. Yeah. It's not the principles that we're founded on in this country. I'm, in fact, a daughter of immigrants. We started the inaugural Asian caucus this year. We finally had more than one member. The first was Representative Hong from Madison.
Yes, Francesca. Woo-hoo!
Francesca, who's terrific. Yes. She's now joined by two others. And so Representative Tenorio out of West Allis and then myself. And so we're all children of immigrants. And so it means a lot to us to be able to bring that experience to the Capitol and being able to stand up, especially in this time where we're seeing the actions coming out of Washington, D.C. are just to instill fear and are unwelcoming to our immigrant people and our family.
It is the politics of intimidation at every level, right? With the ultimate objective clearly being to intimidate people into silence, right?
That's right.
No room for dissent, which is the absolute opposite of what we aspire to be as a democracy.
That's exactly
and
right.
Just a wee editorial note for me, Representative. I always find it interesting that the diaspora of Asian, like folks from literally swath of the globe, is like, oh, Asian. Yeah. Anyway, that is a topic for another day. Maybe we could get the entire Asian caucus on the show and talk about that. That would be so amazing. Please give my best to Representatives Hong and Tara Rio. Tell me, say the name of the...
Tenorio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Angelito. Uh-huh.
I wrote it down and can't read my own writing. But that would be absolutely amazing. Yeah. With all of that as prequel, let's get to the meat and potatoes of why you are here today.
Yeah.
You have helped spearhead some legislation that is aimed at correcting what I'm going to call system failure. Tell us about it. And then we'll talk about the odds of success in a bit. And folks, if you're just joining us, we've got Representative Renuka Mayadev of the Assembly District 77 with us, part of a group of Dems that are forwarding some new legislation. Do tell.
Yeah, yeah. So we have to fight back, right?
Yes.
So we are in unprecedented times. We're in a constitutional crisis. There's no more, are we, aren't we? We are, right? We are. And so my Democratic colleagues and I are saying we need to stand up to President Trump and the unlawful, unconstitutional behavior that's been happening since he was inaugurated. And so we have to get creative. We have to think about what can we do to fight back. And so for me, the one language that President Trump and his billionaire buddies understand is what?
Money.
They understand money. They're all about enriching themselves. That's the only reason why they're there. That's why I'm sure Mr. Musk is now making up, because the dollar signs are clear that he's going to lose money if he's not friends with the bully in chief.
Yeah, of course.
And so now they're making up. So I said, what can we do to speak their language? And that's why I authored two bills. And one of them is about really plain and simple. If you, President Trump, and your administration are holding back illegally funds that are destined for the taxpayers of Wisconsin for their essential services and the programs, then we're going to hold back a dollar that we owe you. It's really plain and simple. And, you know, taxpayers, they're smart. They understand they need to pay we need to pay their bills. But if you're not paying your bills, we're not going to pay ours. And so the bill says one bill says we're going to hold back payments if you're withholding payments illegally from us. And then the other bill is about putting a lien on federal property to keep Wisconsin whole, to secure an interest in the monies that are due to us and Wisconsin taxpayers. If you're not going to pay our bills, you've got lots of federal property in Wisconsin. We can put a lien. And people know what a lien is.
Yes.
And so we just need to speak the language that they understand.
This I loved these bills. And apologies for calling it a bill. It's two. They operate in the same vein. And I'm going to I'm going to newly rename these because it smacked so much of good, smart lawyering. And I'm going to put some credit at your feet there.
I love it.
These old things that we learn in our first contracts course, things like self-help and making yourself whole. I'm going to call this the Wisconsinites self-help make whole set of bills, because that's what you're proposing to do. These are age old equitable remedies that have literally existed since oldie English common law. I absolutely love it. The make whole self-help bills, co-authored by my guest today, Representative Renuka Mayadev of Assembly District 77. Okay, now the harder part. What do you give the odds of success? Getting some good bipartisan cooperation from the MAGA regime in Madison, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, I should. I'll say is I should be getting my Republican colleagues on these bills because they care about their constituents, or they should. And when the USDA is holding back funds, and when Head Start can't operate, and their constituents can't go to work because the child care center closed because the money's not coming in. But you know, you're right.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten any co-sponsors yet coming to my door.
We're to talk more about these bills. And the hypocrisy of claiming to be pro-taxpayer and failing to do the things to protect taxpayers and residents in the state of Wisconsin. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got Representative Reynuka Mayadev. This discussion continues on the other side.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Summer.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK. Ruby's Pantry distributes the second Saturday of each month. And you can check out the schedule at rubyspantry.org. That's rubyspantry.org. Ruby's Pantry, the second Saturday of each month from 7:30 to 9 a.m. And they do that at SMC Limited on Griffin Street in Avery. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Really excited this afternoon to kick off the show with State Representative Reynuka Mayadev of Assembly District 77, one of the Democrats fighting for the regular, the me and yous of Wisconsin, and fighting back against what will be absolutely devastating cuts to essential services that Wisconsinites count on because of the big, brutal bill and the Musk of it all. It, nothing like a bunch of post-pubescent billionaire-controlled boys rummaging around in our most sensitive data and most important federal programs and taking a chainsaw to all of it. I thought there was an actual audit process that very smart people agreed to, but apparently Elon doesn't do any of that. Representative Reynuka Mayadev, please explain again. There's a pair of bills. We're going to call them the self-help make-whole legislation that you are putting forward. Just briefly again, how do they work?
Yes. So they both speak the language that President Trump and his billionaires buddy understand. Those gentlemen, Elon Musk included, care about money. And so it was important for my office to put out bills that speak the language that they do. And that's about money. So first, we know that President Trump puts out executive orders or doesn't comply with congressional appropriation. They hold back money that's supposed to be coming to Wisconsin for essential programs and services for our taxpayers. And so if they hold back the money, and we've seen it already this year, the USDA funds were delayed and held back. We've seen Head Start monies held back earlier this year.
Yeah.
We're going to hold back a dollar for every their dollar they hold back from us. We're going to hold it back from the monies that we give to the federal government. And so, and then the second bill puts would keep Wisconsin whole again, putting liens on federal property if there's monies due to us. And you may not know, Maggie, I learned a lot of this from my research, that we have millions of acres of federal forests, and we have courthouses, we have lots of federal property. And so that federal property, we like it the way it is. If he starts to transfer it or sell it, we could put a lien on it and cloud that title so that the transfer is not as easy if they're holding back money for us.
I've probably hiked and camped in some of those federal forests, and they are indeed gorgeous.
Yes.
Setting my cheeky tone this afternoon aside, practically speaking, the MAGA regime in Madison, your colleagues in the assembly, and of course in the other chamber, they won't back this. They do not understand that they have an obligation to actually look forward without blinders on to the results of the big brutal bill and the Doge chainsaw approach, the actual results, the actual impacts on Wisconsinites. I get concerned because are you hearing them at all, even in private, talking about the fact that there may be a need to respond if the big brutal bill goes forward and we've got tens of thousands of people losing health care and going hungry in the state?
Yeah, I mean, I saw 250,000 people in our state will lack access to health care if this big, awful bill goes through. And so, you know, I think they acknowledge it. I think they're worried, especially the ones that are in some competitive districts.
Yes.
And now that we finally have competitive districts, we've got, you know, five or six that, you know, we would love to target. We are targeting. We'd love to win, rather.
Yes.
In 2026. And so I think they acknowledge it, but, you know, they're quiet. They're crickets. You never hear from them standing up to the bully in chief.
Yeah, that concerns me so much, especially when at the same time that chainsaw, that big brutal bill, all of those terrible impacts are happening, they're going to let child care accounts expire. Like the things that seem to be within our grasp here in Wisconsin that would have big impacts on working families and the regular people, yes, of Wisconsin, they're turning a blind eye to.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's ludicrous. And I talk about this all the time. Child care. When I was at the Children's Defense Fund, I spent a lot of time thinking about solutions to our complex social problems. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's so much that we need to do. But child care is just the smartest thing we could do as a society. Right. Parents can work. Children can get ready for school and their life, and employers can have a reliable workforce. I mean, it's just a win-win-win, and we, yep, still don't fund it.
No, and we're sort of the cheese that stands alone, both in the state of Wisconsin, ridiculously low funding levels for, yes, childcare, and the cheese, yes, that stands alone as a nation amongst other wealthy democratic nations. We're the only freaking one that doesn't have paid parental leave, child care guarantees, and guaranteed meal programs and health care for kids. Because I know it's really easy to learn when I am really hungry and sick. That's, I want to go to school and crack open my econ textbooks when I'm feeling like that. Representative, last thoughts to listeners out there across the state of Wisconsin, especially as we're rolling into No Kings Weekend. What are your, what's your message?
You know, we have to stand up. I am glad to see this event on Saturday. We have to have everybody raising their voice and making sure that President Trump and his administration knows that they cannot bully us into authoritarianism. And I think it's important that everyone does their part. So thank you, Maggie, for bringing these issues up for listeners.
Well, thank you, Representative, for spending some time with me. I love an econ nerd. I love lawyer nerds, too. I can't wait to have you back. That's Representative Renuka Mayadev of Assembly District 77. When we come back, we'll talk about the big, brutal bill's impact on women's and women's access to health care with the head of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, Tanya Atkinson. So keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin will join another multi-state lawsuit seeking to block the DNA testing company 23andMe from selling personal genetic data. The lawsuit argues that the highly sensitive genetic information, including biological samples, should not be sold without the consent of consumers who provided the samples. The lawsuit was filed in federal bankruptcy court as another company seeks to buy the struggling 23andMe company. Experts are encouraging consumers to delete their 23andMe accounts before a potential sale. Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation officials say they're planning to cut back on some of the programs they offer over the next couple of years following a drop in revenue. The agency brings in most of its funding from economic development surcharges, and officials say the revenue brought in from those surcharges have not kept pace with inflation. The agency saw a $4 million drop in revenue, and funding is expected to decline even further. Governor Tony Evers called for a 160% budget increase for the agency in his biennial budget proposal. Polk County District Attorney Jeffrey Kemp has released a statement following a social media post regarding an email he sent questioning the legality of federal immigration operations. The email appeared to criticize the way ICE is conducting immigration operations, specifically the lack of hearings and warrants, as well as agents wearing masks. District Attorney Kemp said in his statement that the email was taken out of context to suggest something radical or inappropriate, and it was simply a discussion of legal and ethical questions with other attorneys. A Birchwood man has been charged with burglary and assault after allegedly breaking into his ex-girlfriend's residence in Rice Lake. Felony charges of burglary committing battery on a person and felony stalking, as well as misdemeanor charges of battery and theft, were filed against 56-year-old James Everett in Barron County Circuit Court on Thursday. Everett is accused of breaking into the residence on May 28th and injuring the victim's leg and nose, as well as stealing a $350 pair of glasses. He faces up to 15 years in prison. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. God has apparently taken a break from helping athletes win games and is focused on Hollywood. According to the Crazy Town Tribune, comedian actress Roseanne Barr is claiming God is the one who told her to send a racist tweet in 2018 that ended up getting her fired from The Conners, which was a reboot of her previous show, Roseanne. Barr says God, by telling her to tweet, helped her wake up, enabling her to be fired from The Conners because she was having nightmares about the show. So God wanted her to send a racist tweet. God still apparently made The Conners quite successful without her, which is odd. If you're like me, you're wondering what exactly is God's angle here, as the Supreme Being remained pretty hands-off when it came to other sitcoms like Seinfeld or Modern Family. Barr also admitted to being on a mixture of Ambien and alcohol on the night of the tweet, which probably made it a little harder for God to wake her. Folks, apologies are out, and nowadays it's about the double down, and this is one of the most convoluted I've ever seen. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and thunderstorms around, and lows in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, more areas of rain, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-70s. Rain still likely Thursday night and Friday. Highs stay into the 70s. Right now, it's 70 degrees.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming.
So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, State Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein with an update from the Capitol. Also, Chad Holmes and Sean O'Malley on Your Money and the Markets.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday. It is 4:30. And so it is time for Broad Appeal, where I talk to some of the most amazing broads. And I mean that in a deeply reverential and respectful way. Please don't send any angry texts about the use of said term. Before I bring on the fabulous broad that's joining me today, of course, I got to remind you all, it is time for the Civic Media Scotty Summer Giveaway Text to Win contest. Please be sure you've downloaded that Civic Media app onto your phone. It is free. And then you are going to want to text right now, or at least before 5 p.m., this word in to qualify to win this hour, $100 or Brewers tickets, and to be entered to win one of our fabulous grand prizes, including getaways to the Wisconsin Dells area and Door County. And we even pay for your gas. I mean, doesn't get any finer. And that word to win, to text in right now and before 5 o'clock is supper. S-U-P-P-E-R, as in my favorite supper club in the state. It's just outside of Wisconsin Dells. With that business now taken care of, that is supper, S-U-P-P-E-R. Text that in now to be entered to win. It is my privilege and pleasure every time you're on the show. I've got Tanya Atkinson, the president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Welcome back, Tanya. Great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. Nice to see you as well.
Let's start here. The big, brutal bill, I think, shows Americans that the conservative plan and the MAGA regime's plan has never been to, quote, leave it up to the states when it comes to a woman's right to choose. I think the big, brutal bill makes it 100% clear that the MAGA playbook, the Project 2025 playbook, and therefore Donald Trump's playbook, is to ensure that abortion is unavailable from California to New York and from Maine to Arizona. Tell us why, Tanya, what's in the big brutal bill that is operating to make abortion nearly universally unavailable to varying degrees, depending on state law constructions?
Yeah. So so thank you again so much for having me. And, you know, there's I would break this question into two parts, the answer into two parts. You know, what is in the bill that is immediately go into effect is a ban on Planned Parenthood's ability across the country to bill Medicaid for the health care that they receive. Now, so Medicaid cannot be used for abortion care, except for in very, very limited circumstances. So what is in this bill specific to reproductive health care? Now, as you know, there's a lot in there about Medicaid as well. Specific to reproductive health care is this provision. Now, Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, other Planned Parenthoods, are healthcare providers. And this provision is written in a way that it only targets Planned Parenthoods. So Planned Parenthood Wisconsin is a healthcare provider. We don't get a check from the federal government that says go do good. We bill insurance. Medicaid is a form of insurance. 60% of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin's patients have Medicaid as their form of insurance. So I think that we can all do the calculation on that is that 60% or more of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin's 50,000 patients across the state, their health care is at risk. So this means that, you know, it's going to have a huge impact across the state of Wisconsin. Thousands of women, people of color, rural communities. I'm from a very rural part of Wisconsin. Healthcare is very difficult to access. People with low income, people, you know, our friends, our families, our neighbors could lose access to this really critical reproductive healthcare as a result of what is in this bill. Now, to your point about abortion, is, you know, they have made their agenda clear. And if, you know, the reality is, if they're able to defund Planned Parenthoods across the country, a national abortion ban is next.
Folks, that's Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. Something I want to lift up there, and then I'm going to bring on our other fabulous broad, who is my co-host in these segments. And that is this, under the Hatch Act, federal dollars do not fund abortions. People hear the word Planned Parenthood, the conservatives lose their mind. People who hold very, I'm going to just say, good faith religious beliefs about this. Oh, it's Planned Parenthood. Yeah, let's defund that because that's all about abortion and I don't want my tax dollars paying for it. Newsflash, not happening. What we're talking about is essential life-saving basic health care that Planned Parenthood delivers for women up and down the income spectrum, but especially for women in rural areas and lower income women. And I'll also point this out. If I had a nickel for every friend of mine while I was attending Catholic University, Marquette University, who went to Planned Parenthood for basic access to birth control and other gynecological care while they were in college, I would have an enormous pile of nickels. Planned Parenthood is essential, and the funding and tax and the big brutal bill are an abomination, to use a billionaire boy baby's term. With that, Dr. Lyerly, welcome. I know you had some urgent hospital business, so I couldn't bring you in right away at the top, but please, I am eager to hear from you on this particular topic.
I was just taking care of women, pregnant women in a rural setting, one of those settings that will be completely kneecapped if we lose access to Medicaid. And I just want to give a shout out to Tanya and to Planned Parenthood. I was a patient. I trained at Planned Parenthood, and I've been a provider at Planned Parenthood. And I can't tell you how honored I've been to have been part of that legacy, to have been able to take care of so many people who knew that they could rely on Planned Parenthood for birth control and contraception and sexual medicine. I mean, questions that they were not comfortable asking outside of this provider that is trusted and known, and not just in our clinics in places like Sheboygan where I work, but online as well. People know that they can go to Planned Parenthood and get real good life advice that they can make good decisions to base their lives on. I also wanted to just acknowledge that, Tanya, when you were talking about the number of people with Medicaid who come to Planned Parenthood, people may not understand that Medicaid in Wisconsin isn't called Medicaid. It's called Badger Care. I think there are a lot of folks who don't really know that they are actually at risk here. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And not just for in this bill, not just for family planning and all the services that you just listed. There's a lot of attacks on Medicaid, Badger Care, right? Here in the state of Wisconsin. So thank you for lifting that up. I mean, this bill will have an indelibly negative impact on the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it is dire straits here. I wanted to share a personal story. I had a dear friend, this was 5 years ago, who had just changed jobs. She had lost her health insurance because she had gone to a very small employer and woke up one day with extraordinary pain. She had no idea what was wrong with her or what was going on. And the only place that she could go that helped her access Badger Care. Someone sat down at a Planned Parenthood and helped her fill out her Badger Care paperwork and helped her access that. She ended up having three enormous fibroids, required surgical intervention. I don't know what would have happened to my friend. And there are millions of stories like this across the country. And thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for pointing out that even women that have a PCP or an OB-GYN may feel somewhat uncomfortable asking questions, especially in small communities, right? Like if your doc happens to know your partner, parents, husband, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And Planned Parenthood is known to be that trusted provider that will give you completely unbiased, scientifically and medically accurate information about your healthcare options. I'm like almost choking up. I know so yes. many people who have literally their lives would have been irrevocably altered in a negative way, and they weren't getting abortion care, mm-hmm. which is medical care. But I have digressed. Tanya, if you can you add a little bit of this human element to it? Because the numbers, I think people are hearing them and they don't believe them. But I think yeah. the stories of women are incredibly compelling.
Yeah. Well, and your story, you know, really underscores the work of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and Planned Parenthood across the country. Because for a lot of people, Planned Parenthood Wisconsin serves as an entry point into the healthcare system. So there's the argument is like, well, people can go somewhere else, right? And it sounds logical, sure. And the reality is, think about it as a patient ourselves. If we were to, you know, walk into our provider one day, a provider we've been seeing for a very long time, and we walk in and we're told, we're sorry, the government says that you can't see this provider anymore. That's a profound impact. We have relationships with our providers. And as an entry point of the healthcare system, Planned Parenthood Wisconsin is part of the healthcare tapestry. There is a healthcare deficit, across the entire country. And so for a person like your friend, I'm sure the team referred them somewhere else, right? Yep. To a different healthcare system. We work together. So there is not another provider that can stand in, and nor should they have to, frankly. And there's talk about, like, how does this harm Planned Parenthood? We're going to defund Planned Parenthood. No. What is happening is an attempt to take away healthcare from the people of Wisconsin. And, you know, the stories are endless. I wish I could count how many times somebody has said, thank you, you caught our cancer early. Or I, you know, sometimes get to read notes from our patients, and had a patient that many patients, but one in particular sticks with me. This person said, you know, I knew something was wrong, right? Because we know when something is wrong with our bodies, right? I knew something was wrong. I went to provider after provider after provider, and no one listened to me. But I came to Planned Parenthood, and that provider listened to me, and they caught my cancer early. So if we think about defunding Planned Parenthood, what we need to be thinking about is if one in four women have been to a Planned Parenthood at some point in their lives, we should all look around the room and see who among our friends, our family, our loved ones aren't going to access that care. And what is that impact going to be on them as individuals, on their family, the health of the individual, the health of the community? This isn't about healthcare. It's not even about abortion. This is simply about control. There is a small minority of politicians trying to impose their beliefs on all Americans. People should be able to make their own healthcare decisions, absolutely not politicians and not the government.
Yeah, I have to say, Tanya, when I was in Sheboygan, I was so impressed with the level of respect. I don't know that we've said the word respect, but when someone would come in seeking care, we would do everything that we could to meet them where they were at and try to help them get all of the services that they needed from the very beginning all the way through to if we needed to refer them. It was one of the best places I've ever worked.
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. And you've seen firsthand how, as a provider yourself, how genuinely and authentically people care yes. about the patients that walk through the door. So this is about Wisconsinites. This is about healthcare. And thank you so much for having us on.
We're going to stick around with Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and Dr. Kristen Lierley, my frequent guest co-host for Broad Appeal, coming to you every Wednesday at 4:30. We continue this fine discussion on the other side about respectful, sensitive care that meets patients where they are, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com. Or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin's summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're not every woman, but we're three fabulous broads for this Wednesday's edition of Broad Appeal. I've got the fabulous Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. And with me, as I always hope every Wednesday morning, gee whiz, I hope I get to see Kristen today, Dr. Kristen Lierley. If you would like to see the three fabulous broads, you can always watch us on Civic Media's YouTube channel, also at Maggie Dawn Show on Insta, X, and the Book of Faces. It is our last segment of the hour to text in to win in Civic Media's Scotty Summer Statewide Giveaway. This hour giving away either $100 or Brewers Club level tickets, and your text in this hour will also qualify you to win one of our grand prize getaways, including gas money, which is amazing, to either Wisconsin Dells or Door County, two of my favorite places in the state. I call it Wis Vegas, but I do it with love. That word to text in on the Civic Media app, not the regular way, but got to do it on the app, is supper, S-U-P-P-E-R, as in supper clubs are a Wisconsin classical tradition. Ladies, before the break, we were talking about the big, brutal bill and its attacks, its attempts to target Planned Parenthood, an organization, for those that don't know, and sometimes I think avoid knowing, provides essential, basic healthcare for women in every single community across the country, filling critical healthcare shortages, especially in rural communities, and providing that care in a sensitive way that meets female patients and other patients exactly where they are. That is one of the hallmarks of every single one of my friends that's ever been in a Planned Parenthood. They always felt like that was a safe environment, and they didn't feel judged. And that is not always the case in doctor-patient relationships. Sorry to say, they're not all like Dr. Kristen Lierley, who just talked to another fabulous broad, one of my personal heroes, Senator Elizabeth Warren, about the new MAGA regime's murder bill. Tell us more, Dr. Lierley.
Yeah, I just got off a call with Senator Warren. We talked about the MAGA murder bill, the bill that will take health care away from thousands of Wisconsinites. It'll shut down rural hospitals. I mean, let's be honest, yes, so many rural hospitals depend on Medicaid in order to keep their doors open. This is not going to make people healthier. Cutting health care doesn't cut sickness. And I think that's really important to acknowledge here. But one of the things that I walked away from this conversation with was, we talk about this stuff all the time because it's pretty consuming in our world, but only one in four people know what's happening with this bill. Mm. There's a lot of room for us to get the message out. And when we get the message out, it's important for us to use terminology that people understand, like Badger Care instead of Medicaid, so people know that we're talking about them. We really have to bring it home for people. We can't wait until the effects hit home and they're suffering. It's too late then. Now is the time to have these conversations. So we're so grateful to have you here, Tanya, to really highlight what's happening with Planned Parenthood here in Wisconsin.
Great. And thank you, Dr. Lierley. And I'm really grateful for the reminder that in our amazing state of Wisconsin, we call Medicaid Badger Care. So thank you for that reminder.
Mm-hmm. I promise you, every single person that can hear my voice right now, whether you're watching this on a podcast, on Apple Pods or Spotify or live right now, you know someone that you love that is on Badger Care right now. You know someone that you love that will get administratively written off of Badger Care. And the point that Dr. Lierley made just a moment ago is essential. And I want to ask you about the impacts of this on infant and maternal mortality, Tanya, because here's the deal. Human beings always demand health care. We need health care. Because you eliminate healthcare doesn't mean that people don't need it. What ends up happening is they don't get the care they need and the time that they need, and they don't get preventative care. So we end up in where, everyone together now? Hospitals. We end up dying more. We're sicker, which, guess what? Drives up what? Everyone together in the back of the class, premiums and deductibles and the overall cost. We spend more per capita than any other developed democracy in the world and get worse outcomes, and our maternal and infant mortality is getting worse. What's going on, Tanya? Why is that the case?
Well,
so many reasons.
You know, yeah, there's so many reasons. You know, I mean, I think you've both named it. The reality is, this isn't about healthcare. This provision isn't about healthcare. It's not about abortion. It's about control. And there's the small minority of politicians that are trying to impose their beliefs on all Americans. Right now, in this big insert adjective bill, politicians are making some of the biggest cuts to healthcare, including Medicaid and defunding Planned Parenthood, which again is not defunding Planned Parenthood. It is taking away healthcare from Wisconsinites just so billionaires can get more tax breaks. That's what's happening right in front of us live. And, really briefly to your point about, infant and maternal health, Wisconsin has got some of the largest inequities when it comes to Black maternal health. It is at crisis levels. And, you know, that is not the Wisconsin I grew up in. You can tell from the accent. That is not the Wisconsin I grew up in. We can do better. And we need to demand our local politicians do better. So everybody should contact their congressional representative, definitely Senator Johnson, definitely Senator Baldwin, and let them know how much you care. Let your friends know what's going on.
It's the MAGA murder bill.
MAGA murder bill.
It is the MAGA murder bill. It will not work. No one will be better off. It will just cost us more for worse outcomes. Bottom line. And the hypocrisy of it all from folks that call themselves pro-life speaks for itself. My big, big thanks to Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and my I always hope every Wednesday co-host for this segment called Broad Appeal, Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on Saturdays and Sundays on WGBW in Green Bay. I will talk to you next week, Dr. Lierley. And Tanya, great to see you. We will talk again soon. Everybody, you got 30 seconds to text in the word to win supper, SUPPER, and have some summer fun on civic media. We'll be back after the top of the hour with another fine guest talking about the economy. Is it really better, or is Trump just full of it? You can take a guess. We discuss next.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump says a tentative trade deal has been reached between the U.S. and China. ABC's Alexis Christopher says it includes access to China's rare earth minerals.
It basically reverts the U.S. and China to a trade truce they had agreed upon back in May. And it rolls back more of those punitive measures that each had imposed on each other. For example, those rare earth minerals, China will now be giving those to the U.S. up front. We use those in things like the U.S. auto and defense industry. From the U.S. part, they're now saying that Chinese students will be able to come to the U.S. and attend U.S. universities.
Protests continuing in Los Angeles over immigration raids and the deployment of federal troops. The mayor asking for calm. The White House says the troops are there to protect federal buildings. RFK Jr. has replaced 8 of the 17 independent advisory board members after terminating the CDC panel that makes recommendations on vaccines. Some of those members previously expressed anti-vaccine views. This is ABC News.
You can always